This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Wang Xiaoning and Julian Ng. It's 7:36 in the morning, Wednesday the 11th of March. And in about half an hour, we're going to be having the breakfast grill, where I'll be speaking with Datuk Abdullah, Managing Director of Fave. Because amid the crowded digital payments and loyalty rewards space, can Fave distinguish itself from the competition? So we'll be sitting down with Datuk Abdullah to discuss his growth strategies for the company. So be sure to stay tuned for that after the 8 o'clock news. In some international headlines, though, earlier this week, oil prices suffered their biggest fall since the day U.S. forces launched airstrikes on Iraqi troops following their invasion of Kuwait in 1991. And this is on the back of the fact that Saudi Arabia, the world's top exporter, launched a price war over the weekend.
That's right. Both countries actually came together in 2016 to form a so-called OPEC Plus alliance after oil prices plunged to $30 a barrel. But yesterday, Saudi Arabia escalated its oil price war with Russia by supplying a record of 12.3 million barrels a day in the next month. The supply is more than 25% higher than last month's production.
And in true tit-for-tat action, Moscow responded within minutes, with the energy minister Alexander Novak saying Russia had the ability to boost production by 500,000 barrels a day. Now, this will put the country's output potentially at 11.8 million barrels a day, also a record. And Russia and Saudi weren't the only ones increasing supply, with Iraq saying it would increase shipments by as much as 350 barrels a day next month, and Nigeria adding about 100,000 more.
So the market has been confronted with an unprecedented situation, a huge supply surge combined with a historic demand slump as a result of the coronavirus. And one concern arising from this is, could we see sovereign credit fundamentals and ratings come under pressure? So for more on this, we speak this morning to James McCormack, Global Head of Sovereign Ratings at Fitch Ratings. Thank you very much for joining us, James. With both COVID-19 and the oil price war shock putting pressure on fiscal positions, which countries are likely to be significantly impacted by this in the region?
Well, good morning. As you say, there's two distinct shocks here that we have to think about. Last week, we were really just thinking about COVID. This week, we need to think about COVID plus the change in energy prices. I think if we start with the first one, COVID, there's a time limit to the implications of that. The country most affected, obviously, because the virus started there, is China. And then the countries that are related to China, either through supply chains in Northeast or Southeast Asia, and tourism flows, which is a really global phenomenon, are the ones that are going to be most affected. It does look like there's the beginnings of a recovery of sorts in China, so there is hope that we might be getting to the right side of that, and sovereign rating implications might be sort of short-lived, if you will, if any. The oil price correction, we think, is potentially a longer-term change. We think there may be a change in the supply structure in global oil markets, and that's something that will affect commodity exporters, not just in Asia, but around the region, and that could have public finance implications, growth implications, and external financing implications. So quite a broad range of countries affected by both of these phenomena.
And talking about countries, how would this plunge in oil prices affect the sovereign ratings of the oil-dependent countries?
Well, there's a couple of channels. The first is really what it means for growth, but we shouldn't necessarily think about lower growth being associated with lower ratings. I think what we're primarily focused on really is public finances, and the extent to which lower oil prices mean lower government revenues, then we have to think about what governments can do in response to that, either cutting back on expenditures, which is unlikely in a lower growth environment, or raising revenues somewhere else, or just allowing the deficit and the debt levels to rise. So I think those are the kinds of things that we have to think about. It does depend very much on the policy responses that governments put in place.
And James, just want to follow up on that question, right? Who are the countries who will be most affected by this? Is it generally just all the oil exporting nations, or do we actually have to see what kind of oil price assumptions they used in their budgets?
It is the oil exporters, and I think when we look around the world at vulnerable oil exporting countries, Asia isn't the first region we look to. There are a couple in Africa. There are several in Latin America. The Middle East sovereigns are clearly very exposed. I think for commodity exporters in this part of the world, it's less pronounced. Those dependencies are less pronounced, but we can't ignore them. Indonesia is a net exporter of commodities, Malaysia. So we do have to think about the impact on public finances. If you think about Malaysia specifically, the government debt level is already relatively high at about 60% of GDP. That's much higher than, say, Thailand or the Philippines or Indonesia. So the scope for allowing that debt to rise from here without having sovereign rating implications is less. There's less space for that in the case of Malaysia. So we'll be watching those countries in particular, I would say.
James, to what extent is deflation a risk? Because you have, on the one hand, falling oil prices, but on the other hand, that might lead to extra spending in terms of consumption spending, which will boost the economy. So is deflation a risk?
Depends where you look. I think in Asia, we don't necessarily worry about deflation, except obviously in Japan, which has had, 20 or 30 years of pernicious deflation. But we've never really had deflation, meaningful deflation in China or anywhere else in the region. I think Europe is a very different story. Inflation is already very low, below the central bank's target. We're probably going to see more easing there. But one thing about deflation, it doesn't seem to spread from one region to another. There isn't the same kind of contagion that you would think about in other financial phenomenons or financial instruments. So I think for Asia, I wouldn't get too concerned about deflation, no.
And do you think that cheaper oil prices would give a boost, a much needed boost actually, to these Asian economies?
Could do. If countries are net importers of oil, and I think, there's a couple of Asian countries that are big among the world's largest net importers of oil, so Thailand, Korea, Japan. So clearly, that is a net positive for those countries. So it's not all negative across the board. There are winners from lower oil prices, for sure. And Thailand could use the help, given the hit that the tourism sector is taking, and that's a big part of their economy.
And James, are we really in uncharted territory? Because we do have this intersection, right, of COVID-19 and oil price shock to global economy. So we have a combination of demand and supply shocks to the system and potentially maybe even a financial shock. So what could possibly be the ramifications?
I think you're right. We are in uncharted territory. There seems to be a couple of things kind of coming together at the same time. I think we're expecting more fiscal easing and more monetary easing. So we saw a very dramatic move by the Fed last week in cutting rates by 50 basis points. We're probably going to see further action in terms of global central banks, the ECB. Bank of Japan is kind of at the limit, but of course there's always more they can do. So the policy response, I think, is going to be quite pronounced. Government officials and central bank officials around the world are very alert to what's going on, aware of what's going on. There's a fair bit of pressure on them to respond to what's going on. So, the economic implications will depend very much on how adept they are at moving those policies forward. And we definitely expect to see them as being active in the weeks ahead.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, James. That was James McCormack, Global Head of Sovereign Ratings at Fitch Ratings, talking about the possible hit to sovereign credit fundamentals from the dual shocks of COVID-19 and the current fall in oil prices. Right now, we have some messages coming up for you. And then after that, we're speaking with Professor Dr. Tajuddin Rasti, social commentator and professor of architecture at UCSI University, on the appointment of the new Minister of Religious Affairs, as well as past his presence in the new cabinet. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.